everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We have a double program. Today we'll have a regular show, relatively short, and then we're jumping into the private hangout, private Patreon, and Subscribestar hangout. If you'd like to join us for the private discussion, I hope that James is there. He's been there very often. I hope that James is there so that we can do a return on his appearance on the show. It was great. We learned stuff and our minds were opened to a very interesting hypothesis. Hopefully we can continue that discussion and others in the private hangout. Join the Subscribestar. The link is in the description below at the $20 level if you'd like to join us on our monthly private show. We're jumping into the news because the news is intense today. And impressive revelations by Censored Man. Now, Censored Man comes out with an exclusive story. Should we trust an anonymous Twitter account with a big, big story? Well, Censored Man has been on point. And so he has acquired to me a trust that is higher than the one I have in many journalists. So I don't see why we shouldn't trust him. I would be astonished if he hadn't made the verifications. It's still possible. We have to keep in our mind the possibility that this is all a setup and that he was lied to. But I expect the man to be relatively honest and do his due diligence. I wouldn't expect him to make up this story. He says that there are Christians and employees at the Daily Wire who have contacted him. They are thinking about doing a lawsuit because there was a super speech just before the firing of Candace. And it reveals that the firing of Candace was mostly around the Christ is King comment. Can you believe this? So of all the things, you know, she invited rabbis, they looked bad. She did a couple of dog whistles. But it seems that the Christ is King comment, and Christ is King, she liked a Twitter post, and that Twitter post was clearly was talking about Christian blood. It was asking not in a direct way. Rabbi, are you drunk on Christian blood? In the context where it was done, it was kind of a ingest. It was asking the question, are you drunk on Christian blood? Like, haha, it's a joke. We know you don't drink Christian blood, but are you drunk on Christian blood? Like, what the fuck are you saying? That is the sense of the original tweet that was liked by Candace Owens. And we learned more about what the Christian employees had to go to at the Daily Wire. And at this point, you know, it's a regular thing in the media business to be having an angle of coverage. And so there is an angle of coverage at the Daily Wire, but it's also a thing that there are religious rights. Like, you can't be fired for your religion. And you cannot have a human resource person taking people, or the CEO of a company taking people in a room and giving a speech about Christ is King is anti-Semitic. The thing is, you could believe Christ is King, and they should not be taking this into account in an employment situation. So they have a case. They have a case for a form of religious harassment here. Maybe Candace doesn't have a case, because Candace, it's different. She's a contractual employee. They could have had the temptation to get rid of her because of Christ is King, but she may have agreed upon a separation, because the term is always separation. When they say their relationship has been severed with Candace Owen, it's not a firing. It's not a classical employment firing. But the other people who are remaining at the Daily Wire, they are employees, many of them presumably. And so they have more rights than Candace Owen. Candace Owen may have dealt a couple of millions here. I don't know what's the essence of the deal she did, but clearly she was happy with leaving, or she was okay leaving, because she's not complaining on the public space. She's not saying that some injustice has been happening to her. So presumably she got something she wanted in that separation deal. The other Christian employees, they shouldn't be harassed for, let's talk about how Christ is King is bad. So bombshell leak, Candace Owens was fired for saying Christ is King. Four Daily Wire employees, all Christians, have approached me. Their identities will remain anonymous for safety reasons. And they leaked information about an impromptu town hall that Jeremy Boring, CEO of Daily Wire, hosted on the day of Candace's firing. Jeremy Boring sent an email to all Daily Wire employees inviting them to an impromptu town hall in Candace Owens' studio. The town hall was led by Boring, with Andrew Klavan repeating many of the corporate talking points on his show the next day. The four employees told me that the town hall attempted to brainwash the employees present into believing that Candace was in fact an anti-Semite. They view it as an extreme form of damage control to scare and prevent employees from speaking out against Owens' firing later that day. The feeling was that they didn't just want her gone. They wanted everyone to hate her like Ben does. It was straight-up propaganda. These subjects were brought up during the town hall. Candace's repeated use of Christ is King was deemed anti-Semitic, dating back to November when a meeting with Ben Shapiro was leaked. In the meeting, he badmouthed Owens for not being overtly pro-Israel. A clip of Nick Fuentes chanting Christ is King was played. Nick Fuentes made it into an internal town hall of the Daily Wire. Bravo, my friend. Bravo. So after being on, what was he on, Nick Fuentes? He was played on mainstream TV by the John Oliver, by the comedic talk show host, and now he's making it into the veins of the internal veins of the Daily Wire. How beautiful is that? So a clip of Nick Fuentes chanting Christ is King was played. This expression made Shapiro particularly angry, and since Fuentes is deemed an anti-Semite by the ADL, it was used to suggest Owens was an anti-Semite by association. A clip from Owens on Fresh and Fit was played, where a catching sound effect was heard in the background. This was an attempt to associate her with the stereotype that Jews love money. So they made a whole propaganda session where they were like, look, we have the evidence. Here she says Christ is King. Here's Nick Fuentes saying Christ is King. Here's the Fresh and Fit guys playing a cha-ching sound when talking about Jews. She's on the Fresh and Fit podcast. The employees also told me that Ben had been bitter in his attitude towards Candace, as her show was outperforming Ben's and was much better received. Some employees are planning a lawsuit against the Daily Wire, feeling intimidated and threatened by the meeting, and also because of what they believe is an attack on Christianity at the company. They felt the phrase Christ is King was seriously deemed to be anti-Semitic by Boring, Klavan, and Ben. It was Candace's repeated use of the phrase, along with her not being overtly pro-Israel, that ultimately led to her firing. After hearing this, no Christian or anyone with genuine morals should have a Daily Wire subscription or support the company in any way, shape, or form. It is clear that Christianity is under attack at the Daily Wire, with Christian employees feeling so intimidated that they are actually consulting their lawyers. This is totally unacceptable and must not be supported. Candace Owens did nothing wrong. Well, 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 Censored Man, that is an important story, because a future movement of boycott against the Daily Wire could totally rely on this. The continuation of the outrage that was caused by Candace Owens, this could cause even more outrage, as we get to see. Yeah, internally, it's all coordinated. You don't get an Andrew Clavin coming out on his show and, oh yeah, I'm going to talk about Crisis King. And he lays out these ideas. They all came from an internal meeting. They were all the corporate position of the Daily Wire. He wasn't sharing, you know, from the top of his heart, his beliefs, or maybe those are his beliefs, but they certainly have been adopted as a corporate belief at the Daily Wire. So this is a massive story. It's brought by an anonymous Twitter account, but one that is one of the most trusted in the right-wing stuff on Twitter. So I'd be surprised if he made that up. I'd be surprised if this was trolling. He must have made some verification to conclude that they were Daily Wire employees. Deadbeat says, Jeremy Boring told Nick he watches his show regularly on an X space hosted by Lauren Chen. Well, this is what's weird. Jeremy Boring would have been at the head of this town hall propaganda meeting. But then he goes on the public space, in the Twitter space, and then he's all, oh no, you know, I love Nick. I would love to organize a debate between Nick and Ben Shapiro. Like, much more open on the outside, but on the inside, shutting down voices that are, I mean, Candace Owens is less radical than Nick on most questions. So it's like you shut down your mini Nick Fuentes, but and then you present yourself publicly. Oh yeah, we're ready to debate anyone. Why wouldn't we have a discussion between Nick and Ben? The thing is, if this report is true, there's never going to be a discussion between Nick and Ben. Ben cannot even tolerate to work with a softer version of Nick Fuentes. So this is what pisses me off. It's the same thing with Eric Weinstein. Eric Weinstein, I would debate anyone. The same week he says this, he blocks me on Twitter. And not because I was harassing him or anything, because I was participating to a discussion following a video of Leather Apron Club. So it's these people are fakes. They make it look like they are open and engaged in an open debate, but they're not willing to face the music. New guy says, I bet if Ben's sister converts, he would convert too. Ben needs more Christ in his life. You want to christen the Ben Shapiro? That could be your life goal. I won't hold my breath. Lindsey Graham says, it's one thing to be anti-Semitic. Lindsey Graham is calling the community notes anti-Semitic and dumb. He says, it's another thing to be dumb and anti-Semitic, criticizing my comments in support of Israel by saying, I'm in the pocket of the Jewish lobby, proves my point better than I could. Let's see if this community note was justified. So he says it is blood libel and BS to say that Israel is using starvation as a tool of war. Okay, so clearly Lindsey Graham doing what he does, which is warmongering and taking the side of Israel. That's always what he does. The community note states, blood libel is the myth that Jews sacrifice Christian kids to use their blood at Passover, not everything Israel doesn't like. Israel is using starvation as a weapon of war, and Lindsey Graham has taken over $1 million from the Israel lobby. These are not opinions. So that's a factually stated, although passive-aggressive community note. But those are true facts. Israel is using starvation as a weapon of war. You can even interview Israelis about this. They will be totally open about it. They will say, yeah, starve them until they release the hostages. I mean, we've heard it. We've heard it on CNN, we've heard it in Vox Pop, asking Israelis, what's the plan with the hostages? Blood libel being the myth. I thought that blood libel was a was a larger concept than this, but it seems that it's a specific thing about Jews sacrificing Christian kids. I didn't know that one. So I get to learn stuff from community notes once more. Russian investigators are saying that attackers receive significant amount of cash and cryptocurrency from Ukraine. This is a big one. I can't tell you that I have seen the proof. They haven't published the proof. They just say, currently our investigation is headed that way. We believe that the attackers in Moscow have received a lot of cash and cryptocurrency from Ukraine. So see, when they said we were hired for 5,000 USD now and the equivalent of 5,000 USD later, that might have been a lie. That might have been an apparent sum. And perhaps the reality is most of their payment was in cryptocurrency. So if that is true, that is a signal that Vladimir Putin is headed toward using this terrorist attack to justify strong strikes on Ukraine. Will be following this. Now, whether it's true or false, I mean, that's an independent question from whether Russia will use this. If they are headed toward tracing the money back to Ukraine, that would mean they are intending to use this as some justification, whether it's true or not. Mark D's channel says, Jeff sounds like a chipmunk on 2X. Well, yeah, I mean, don't listen to me on 2X. By the way, yesterday, my voice was super low on the published stream. For those who didn't watch live, who watched after, now I've corrected the sound. But the sound had been slowed down artificially by Odyssey. It was an Odyssey error with their automatic upload option. But now I've erased the video and I've uploaded a good audio version. So sorry about that. Sorry about those who had to watch the show with JF voice like this. Although I'm sure some of you enjoy. Disclose.tv says, just in, Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years in prison. We have finally the sentence. Look. There's always been pros and cons on this Sam Bankman-Fried. I think on the one hand, Sam Bankman-Fried scammed people. And he scammed people and he overplayed his hand in thinking that redirecting that scam money to politicians would somehow kind of work. He was a bullshitter, basically. He was telling, give me your Bitcoin, I'm keeping your Bitcoin for you. And then he was giving way too much and investing way too much. I mean, the guy bought an arena in the name of FTX, the FTX arena. So it's a kind of fluff of the economic system. But at the same time, this is what the whole economic system is. I mean, bullshitters like SBF are everywhere in the economy. And I feel that an injustice has been done to him to some extent, in that because he was in financial affairs, his stuff was taken over by a bunch of rapacious lawyers specialized in basically taking over companies and eating them with attorney fees. And then they argue that, oh, we found enough money to reimburse everyone. Well, if you found enough money to reimburse everyone, why are we talking bankruptcy? Like, this is weird. The whole thing is weird. I think that Sam Bankman-Fried deserves what he's getting. I think 25 years is fine. He's going to spend most of his useful life in jail, in prison. And when he comes out, the world will have moved on. But at the same time, Sam Bankman-Fried, yes, new guy, he got screwed. So yes, he deserves a punishment and he's a fraudster. But I feel that the 99% of the fraud hasn't been punished here. Because when you're a fraudster like SBF, okay, you bullshit, and then everyone centers around your bullshit, and everyone acts like pushing you toward more bullshitting. Like, look at his girlfriend. His girlfriend was a massive enabler of his behavior, if not the cause of part of it. Like, what is the true evil thing that SBF did? Despite, other than being a spender on too many political stuff and arena funding and that kind of stuff, the great evil thing that he did is redirect funds from accounts that he should have been a guardian of towards speculation by his girlfriend. That is the great evil. The great evil ultimately boils down to this woman. And it's kind of weird that he gets 25 years, and I don't know if she's going to get much because she collaborated with the police. I don't know how they're going to go with her. But something tells me she's not going to get 25 years in prison. So when you're a bullshitter like this, you sponge the sewers of the world. You know, there are other people who are kind of morally loose, who are attracted to you. They revolve around you and they make you self-deceive into more and more of that. And I feel that SBF was pushed a lot. He was basically told, probably by a lot of people, that he was on the right path and that he should continue like this. And this elevated him into a pyramid of bullshit. A pyramid of bullshit is what it was. Evil flux together. Yes, absolutely. And I think that his girlfriend might, his girlfriend might be more evil than him. Because not only is she capable of doing all of the fraud that he did, she's capable of having someone else do it for her. And she's capable then of having this guy be the main fall guy. Now that is evil. That, to be walking around freely in this world, knowing that someone else is imprisoned for your own wrongs, that is evil. Lendald Guntram says, Mark Dice has been onto Shapiro's schemes over the years, just recently hit him again. Surya says, she looks more evil than him too. Oh yeah, in terms of looking evil, she's hard to compete with. Low Mercury Tuna was telling me that I missed one of his super chats, but now I'm looking at my entropy. The last super chat I had from you was on the 21st, and you were asking about trans rage, and I remember answering that one, although I did get another super chat today from you, so I'm going to read that one. And Low Mercury Tuna, sorry if you have sent super chats that didn't make it to me, but if so, feel free to copy your super chat in the Discord so that I can give you an answer. But for the one that did get to me, it says, given that women aren't more rightist or more leftist, but are more whatever the current thing is, would we be more right-wing today if we gave women the vote already 300 years ago? I don't think that women are merely absorbers of the current thing. I believe that since women have been given the vote, you can truly see a slide toward the left, and it's continued across generations. The government got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Basically, women have only one mode once they control a democracy. It is a bigger and bigger and bigger, bigger state. I believe that is the natural state of women. I don't believe that women can be persuaded, just like I don't believe that men can be persuaded truly of changing their position on the political spectrum. You can always give talking points to people that fit their already conceived preferences, and they can adopt these talking points and look more leftist or look more right-winger. But I don't believe in true persuasion. I don't believe it's a thing. I believe it's a false conception that comes from a psychologizing of the human mind rather than a biological study of it. I believe that in the end, you have a series of predispositions, and it's not a matter of a scientific question whether something even is a predisposition or whether something is something you've acquired later. Because anyways, we're recording at the output. What are we recording? We're recording what people say they believe. And what people say they believe might hide a whole layer of pre-acquired emotional predispositions. Maybe you teach a left-wing talking point, let's say about abortion, woman freedom, etc. You teach that thing. Now, the woman will start saying that thing. But the fact is, the woman still has all of her predispositions that she had before acquiring that ID and after. And that is totally understudied in cognitive psychology. But I believe that your premise is wrong. So you are asking, if we gave women the vote already 300 years ago, would we be more right-wing today? I believe we would have added toward more and more leftism. Now, the question is, of course, there are natural mechanisms for leftism to disappear from society, or else, there is no way out. All societies would always converge toward leftism. So perhaps if we had given the vote to women 300 years ago, they would have progressively built the communist state of today, maybe 100 years ago, maybe 200 years ago. So we would have an advance on the backlash. Now, perhaps 300 years later, we would be at the time where the backlash takes back. And there has to be a backlash because all societies have converged towards some form of right-wing independence of some kind from the state. And that's either a full individual and economic independence, as the model is in Western civilization. It's either a family independence from the state, as is the case in Muslim civilization. Or you have China, where the state seems very powerful, but they had to liberate economically some degree of capitalism going on in trade. And it's probably untenable long-term, a regime like that of China, if it's too authoritarian. There will be a time, I believe, in the close future where authoritarian regimes are untenable, and that could lead to a fragmentation of China. Rodila Sid says, white liberal woman is what is driving today's DEI and diversity push, and weak men allow it to happen. Absolutely. Lendald Guntram says, happened explicitly in Switzerland too. Ever since they activated political womanhood, they started sliding ever more to the left and globalism with ever-shrinking Swiss sovereignty and diminishing personal rights. It's horrible. It's horrible. We have given a right to vote to a population that was just not statistically prepared to make decisions. We would have had to farm women in an aquarium, observe them, see if they can build a self-sustaining society. 5 or 6 women on an island, you make a reality TV show about it, so it solves the financial question. You make cash with advertising. You fund this whole operation. And you ask, okay, 1,000 years down the line, did they build something functional? We didn't do it. We just gave women the vote in real civilization. For everything else we ever do, we do practice runs. Have you thought about this? For everything we do a practice run. A little medication for headache would go through thousands of people trying it first at a little dose, and slowly we would take these subjects and elevate the dose just to be sure we don't hurt people. But we gave the woman vote, just boom. We decided it was time. MNQ says a group of women on an island surviving has been tried out by Bear Grylls some years back. I'm going to have to check this out. I don't know what it is. people are laughing their ass off because Alex Jones interviewed Rabbi Shmuley and called him Rabbi Buttplug.
The left wants to arrest conservatives. They want to put Trump in prison. All right, Rabbi, thank you so much. I don't want to keep our guest host too long. I appreciate it.
Can I promote my $2? You promoted a lot of your powders, man.
I love butt plugs for pedophiles.
What? He has a book called Kosher Jesus?
So I told you I'm giving those to you for free because you seem to really need it. So that's a gift. You don't have to plug that. What? It's coming. Just
will
you
help
address.
Me fit my butt plug?
However, you know.
Are you Rabbi Butt Plug?
Whatever floats your boat, Alex Jones. It seems that you're jealous of my sex life very deeply, and I don't want you to be jealous. I want to. You know, it seems that your skills in that area may be a little.
You're right. You're right. I'm not as good as doing lap dances with my grandchildren.
I want to promote.
There's another video, I didn't cover it, but I'm sure many of you have seen it on social media, where Rabbi Shmuley is doing a lap dance on his grandchild's dick.
The left wants to arrest conservatives. They want to put Trump in prison. All right, Rabbi, thank you so much. I don't want to keep our guest host too long. I appreciate it.
Can I promote my $2?
All right, so that was quite funny, but it's still just Alex Jones being an entertainer while this guy is just spooing his stuff. Purple Tuna has contacted me. He says, Super Chat Entropy, that Entropy screwed is as follows. Christ was a Jew is a dunk on Christian anti-Semites, but Christ is king of Jews is anti-Semitic? As you note in that very question, Purple Tuna, everything is anti-Semitic, and we now know it because we've had Candace Owen debate with a rabbi, and the rabbi not only wanted to make the point that anti-Semitism is a constantly mutating and moving definition, but Candace Owens granted him an extra layer of kindness and said, okay, maybe it's a changing conception, but could we agree on a description of anti-Semitism for the purpose of this discussion? Could we even have a definition at the current moment? And Rabbi said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. So you can't even have a definition at time t equals zero. You can have a starting point. As soon as you're trying to catch anti-Semitism, there it is already flying and everywhere around you. So, yes, what you've detected is correct. A new mayor of Baltimore is a young black man, and he's going after white people, the biggest problem in Baltimore.
Very proud of my heritage and who I am and where I come from scares them, because me being at my position means that their way of thinking, their way of life, of being comfortable and
Yeah, your way of life, like owning your home and stuff like this, like walking without crime on the streets, not being afraid of being shot, that is over in Baltimore.
Suffering and while everyone else suffers is going to be at risk, and they should be afraid because that's my purpose in life.
And white people should be afraid because that's his purpose in life, to undermine white life. Well, the thing is, all of these things, they are becoming locations in America where you shouldn't go, period. You shouldn't go there if you're a white person. And I kind of appreciate that he makes it that clear, because now you're going to have even normie non-racist who are going to start discussing, look, we're banned from Baltimore. And look at what Baltimore looks like in 50 years down the line. It's going to be quite funny. I mean, they already have a boat that collided with their bridge or whatever yesterday. But it's going to get worse and worse. Just Pearly Things is memeing a lot recently on the Steven Crowder stuff. Steven Crowder is innocent, like I predicted. Conservatives called an innocent man an abuser, and I still don't see any retraction. Yeah, it's there is a big problem. Just Pearly Things, sometimes I disagree, but there is one thing that she says that's very important. The right wing must address the question of fathers' rights there is no viable movement if we don't fix the problem of female decision-making, of single mothers, of the destruction of marriage. All of this needs to be solved. And the only force that could adopt this position is the right wing. Because the left actually enjoys these things, enjoys destroying the marriage. She is absolutely right on this. And I hope that one day we have a Republican Party that can say it clearly. Men's rights have been under attack for decades, and we need to address it. Or else men will just disengage from the system, and it's all going to be like, okay, my goal now in life is to inseminate randomly and be a party guy, and I won't get to be a father, because anyways, it will be taken from me at any point if my wife decides. Dead Star says, bridge will only take a couple bills. They can print that in an hour. Don't buy BTC. I would say the contrary. A bridge is a massive investment of money. The more they print money to build bridges that they break, the more we're going to need to buy BTC to counter. As a last news item, before we head toward our private show, remember, people who are Subscribestar subscribers or Patreon subscribers, go check out your Patreon or Subscribestar page. In 5 minutes from now, I'm going to post a link and we're going to go do the private show. But last news item, Elon Musk says, modern Western civilization has extraordinary empathy compared to its power. This is also arguably its greatest weakness. With the nuclear bomb, America could have subjugated every nation on Earth with ease. Hitler and Stalin would certainly have done so. Instead, America helped rebuild Germany and Japan. There is no historical precedent for a nation with so much power helping rather than destroying its defeated enemies. There is an interesting analysis in there. Some of it, I don't know if Hitler would have subjugated the world with nuclear weapons. I think this is part of the narrative we're told, but I'm not sure he had it in him. But anyways, this doesn't matter. I think there's something good in this reflection by Elon Musk. It is true that the only reason white people are being targeted by demands from all these minorities and people wanting to come live in our nations is ultimately that we're listening to them. We're the only force in the world that is open, that has an open ear. And when you open your ear, you hear a lot of crap. When you show yourself to be too empathic, suddenly the demand for services, the demand for reparations, the demand for I need this, I need that, they come flowing. So we should be a little more autistic. We have evolved a little too empathic, a little too generous, and it's being taken against us. Much love, everyone who are leaving us for tonight. For the other ones who are part of the private Patreon club and the private Subscribestar club, go check out your page in 5 minutes from now, and we will start the private show in 20 minutes from now. I'll go rest my voice a little bit. See you soon.